Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. The King James Version of our Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on one candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Let me also read 13 for you. It also says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Again, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." As we sit here and stand here and praise here on the hills of the summit, I want to talk a few minutes about way out on a hill. Way out on a hill. As many as you know, unfortunately, because of COVID-19, because of the affairs of our world, we will have to postpone our trip to Israel till next year. For those of you who are going with us, you should already have gotten an email about the change in the itinerary to next year and how you can either get your refund or how you can apply it to next year's trip. But when I went to Israel 2 years ago, the first thing we did was get on two boats and cross the Sea of Galilee. And our first stop on that tour was to the Mount of the Beatitude. The Mount of the Beatitude is the location where Jesus is believed to have preached his first sermon here in Matthew chapter 5. In the book of Matthew, there are five sermons or five discourses that Jesus gives his people. Matthew, of course, is the longest of the Gospels, and there are five sermons or five discourses in Matthew chapter 5. And it begins here in chapter 5, where he talks about the Beatitudes, where we learn the Beatitudes, which are the moral teachings of Jesus Christ. He's there out on the Mount of the Beatitudes, Mount Ora, they called it back in the day, but now they call it the Mountain of the Beatitudes. And there's a church, there's a park there where you can see all the Beatitudes that are written. And he begins by teaching us that we must understand that there's mercy and that God gives us mercy. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye which men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted that they the prophets which were before you." Blessed are those that are poor. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for they all shall receive mercy. And I declare unto you, if you are listening to me right now, if you're out here on this hill, if you're watching us by live stream, if you woke up this morning, if again you've got breath in your body, God has showed you some mercy. And if God has showed you some mercy, you ought to give a merciful God a great praise. You ought to give a merciful God a great praise. I don't know if you've had a test. I don't know if you've had any complications. We all know somebody who's been affected by this COVID-19 pandemic. And if God has allowed you to stay away from it, preserved you, kept you, God has showed you mercy. And if God has showed you mercy, the text teaches us today that we are obligated then to show mercy unto others. I'm not talking about mercy when it comes to sickness, nurse. I'm not talking about mercy when it comes to helping those people out. I'm talking about mercy where God has held back some things from us that we deserve. God should have already cut us down. God should have already taken us out. God should have already exposed all of our dirt and our mess. But God says, I love you enough to keep you for a purpose. And that's why God says that the church, the ecclesia, the called out community has got to be the salt of the world. But the text suggests to us that he says, but the salt has lost its flavor. Well, my brothers and my sisters, salt in itself cannot lose its flavor, because salt is, as you know, a preservative. Salt is something that keeps things from going bad. Before we had an ice box, before we had a refrigerator, before we had freezers, they used to have to pack everything in salt, because salt is a preservative. It keeps things from breaking down and decomposing. And so one of the things that he's teaching us here is that the church of Jesus Christ has to be the salt of the earth, the salt of the world, that we must preserve this world. And he says, but the salt has lost its flavor. But the salt in itself is still salty. What has happened is that people's taste buds have changed. The salt ain't changed, Sister Lakin, but our taste buds have changed. We no longer want to be the salt of the earth, because it requires us to be obedient. It requires us to sacrifice. And it causes us to be that city upon a hill. And we don't want people to look on us, because we know that we're still wretches undone. But God has given us the power. And I think it's in Corinthians that said there's no temptation that God will not give you an escape from. That you can be the salt of the earth. That the church of Jesus Christ can preserve this world. But people have lost their taste. They don't want to hear Deacon Moore, a word from the Lord. They don't want to be held accountable. When Jesus was out on this hill, like if we imagine this was the hills of Hermon, when he was healing people and he was feeding people, this hill would have had 5,000 men plus the women and children. But when he started causing people to accountability, asking people to reform and to change, he went from 5,000 at the buffet to 5 at his funeral. You wonder why church attendance is so low? You wonder why now there's some churches that we've seen across the country, Erica, now being changed into restaurants and apartments, and even churches have had to foreclose? Ain't nothing wrong with the salt. It's something wrong with our taste buds. Jesus, still the same. Yesterday, today and tomorrow. He is still the salt that is not only a preservative, but he is also a provider. And I wanted to declare unto you and everyone listening under the sound of my voice, I know Congress is messing with your money. I know they haven't passed the expansion and the extension of your benefits, but I want to provide you with another benefits package. His name is Jesus. And he can be the director of your HR. He can be director of all your human resources. See, that check is just a resource. You got to know who the source. And the source of all that we have is in Jesus Christ. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I'm here to declare unto you, if you've been making it through March, you're going to make it in August. You're going to make it in September. You're going to make it in October. You're going to make it in December. You're going to make it.
because he's still a provider. And then God says we also have to be the light in darkness. We, the church of Jesus Christ, have to be the light in darkness. It is no coincidence. It is divine providence that the first thing that Jesus, I mean God, did in creation was separate the night from the darkness and the light. The first thing he did was to bring light into a dark situation. He could have planted all the plants in the dark because he's God. He could have created all the beasts of the fields in the dark because he is God. He could have even created all of us in darkness, because as a matter of fact, most of us were created in darkness. You'll get that when you get home. He could have done all that in darkness. But the first thing that he did was to bring light to a dark situation. And that is what we as the church still have to do. Bring light to a dark situation. And I'm telling you right now, in 2020, we're in some dark times. We're in beyond, even if we aren't dealing with corona, even if we're dealing with COVID, just the fact that we've got this Nebuchadnezzar up there in Washington, we're in some dark times. We're in some dark times with our children killing one another. We're in some dark times with marriages declining. We're in some dark times right now. And the church has got to be the light of the world. I was honored to attend the funeral services and work the funeral service of John Lewis last Thursday. And as I worked this funeral and I was there, I learned something about John Lewis. I've been teaching civil rights and teaching a civil rights course all my life until I became a pastor for 12 years at the university. I did not know until the funeral that John Lewis was an ordained Baptist minister. Never knew until last Thursday that he was an ordained Baptist minister. But he didn't wear a collar. Nobody called him Reverend Doctor. Nobody called him Bishop. Nobody called him Apostle. He didn't have no armor bearers. But you know what he did do? The work of the church. That too many people, and we all know, too many people want a title, too many people want to sit high, too many people want an entourage to make them feel better about themselves. But what John Lewis did is what we're all supposed to do, is do the work of the church, do the work of Jesus Christ, be a light in darkness. And that's what John Lewis did when he marched, when he protested, when he got arrested, when he even sat down in the Congress. He didn't have to have a Bible in his hand all the time. He didn't have to look churchy. See, a whole lot of y'all just want to look churchy so people think y'all say it, but you don't do no work. But the Bible says that you got to let your light shine so that your Father in heaven might be glorified for the work that you do without having to get credit. I can't hear nobody. Y'all too far up on the hill. I can't hear nobody. Without you trying to get credit for it. And then he says, after you become the salt of the earth, after you become light in the midst of darkness, then you will be a city upon a hill. After we preserve and provide, after we bring light to dark situations, then we will become a city upon a hill. What Jesus is referring to here is that people will look up to you and want to be like you. They will want to know how you're able to smile when everything is falling apart around you. They're going to want to know why you can clap when you've lost your job. They want to know how you've been able to keep your car and keep your house when that stimulus check has gone away. They say, well, people will look at you when you ain't cussed nobody out, when you done kept that fool because you're still praying for you, and you know God will make a change when they still doing drugs, when they still on alcohol, but grandma told you to pray until something happens. He said, then and only then will you be a city upon a hill. For those of you who don't know our story, in 2006, we began looking for land to build our church. 2006, even before we started at Ridgeview High School, we knew we were going to buy some land. And we found 11 acres of land out on Clemson Road. We wanted to be on the main thoroughfare. And we met with a realtor to ascertain the price and an availability of 11 acres of land out on Clemson Road. And she told us the price that they were asking for that land. Well, that afternoon, Pastor Jackson got a call from the owner of the land. And by that afternoon, Cliff, the price had doubled from what the realtor told us to what the man who owned the land told us. Obviously, he found out that Brooklyn was interested in it, and he was assuming falsely that we had big money. And he doubled the price, and not only did he double the price, he said he's got another offer and that he needed to know by Friday whether we were going to buy the land or not. Well, there was a problem. It took me till last night to realize, and I didn't realize this in 2006, it's 11 acres of land, which is the number of confusion and problems and chaos. But the practical problem was, it was 11 acres of land, six of it were in a swamp. We could only build on five, six being the devil's number, we're in a swamp. So we were buying half for nothing. I wish I had a witness up in here. And of course, we discerned in our spirit that this was in the land for us, just based on the fact that the man was unscrupulous but trying to double the charge for us and then lying, saying he had another bid and he had to know Friday by five. Let me tell y'all something. That 11 acres is still for sale. It's still out there on Clemson Road with nothing on it. You done missed it already. You can't lie. You can't scheme. And you definitely can't manipulate when people are trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but we had an angel by the name of Audrey Jackson, Pastor Jackson's sister. Sister Audrey lived here in the Summit. And she knew that this land here was available. And she ascertained to the association about selling the land. And we were able to buy this land for a third of the cost that unscrupulous man wanted to sell us, that land on Clemson Road. And we were able to purchase this land within a few months because 300 people gave $1,000 for the land. And when you look at this land, it is set up on a hill. Every time people come up Summit Parkway, they have to see God. Every time they come up that hill, they see the beginning of our project to build God a home. And every time they see that building, Gale, they have to realize that God is still in business. We're not perfect. We haven't done everything right, but we've tried to do the best we can by serving you and serving God. We've tried to do the best we can by letting people know that the wages of sin are still death, but the gift of God is still eternal joy. We have tried to do the best we can to serve this community, to serve our schools, to serve our children, and let people know that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has planned to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And so it becomes of us, it behooves us to continue to be that city upon a hill, so that every time people ride up that street, they see not just the building, but they see where God dwells. It is not by accident, it is by God's providence that we have set on this hill. We're set on this hill to be a beacon of light in this community. Even though we are quarantined, even though we're not in the building, the work still goes on. We're still feeding folks. We're still healing folks. We're still helping folks. Our men's ministry has been building things, and our media ministry has gone to people's houses to set up their TVs and set up their computers so they can get the word of God. The work of the church still remains because we have to be that city that is upon a hill.
because you know that all of our help cometh from the Lord. For I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord.